move to the front row. It's amazing. Yeah. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Kings tonight. I want to share with you guys tonight a little bit about a king named Solomon. I want to talk about King Solomon for tonight as well. And he is the king. He's David's son. David was the king, but David, his life was time for David to go home. And David was old and passed on. And now his son is reigning. His name is Solomon. And God's going to visit this man a couple of times. And the first time he visits him, he asks him, you know, what do you want me? What do you want from me? So God visits him in a dream. What do you want from me? And he begins to talk about the large multitudes of people. And he said, how can I lead these people without wisdom? And God gives him wisdom and gives him, makes him a smart individual, gives him wisdom and knowledge. And because he didn't ask for, riches and things like that, God gave him riches and a long life. And there was a good peace. And also, Solomon's also going to build the temple, a big church house, a big temple. And so God visits him again. He makes the big temple. And he lays some things out there. And so God has visited with him twice. And good things have happened out of both times. The first time he's given wisdom and knowledge and how to lead. And God blesses him. And then also with the temple, God also blesses him there as well. And God says he'll allow that temple and he'll bless the temple and good things are happening. He had so much that Scripture says that silver really wasn't worth anything. There was so much of it. Silver wasn't worth much at all because it was just common. But there does say peace in chapter 10. I want to share a little bit about what's going on here. It says in verse 18. He says the king also, King Solomon made a large ivory throne and overlaid it with fine gold, and the throne had six steps there and was rounded to the top of the back of the throne, and the armrests on each side had the seal and two lions standing beside the armrests, and there were 12 lions, so there were six lions up these steps, side of the steps, six lions on these sides. They're all gold. Gold was everywhere. There's no other place like it. Matter of fact, people still sometimes are looking for Solomon's gold and treasure. You see it, people still trying to find it. There was so much there. It was the richest king, and no other king had what this king had. And he was a very important person. People came to him from all over lands to ask him questions about nature, about all kinds of things. And he had the answers. And so what we're going to look at in chapter 11. I want to remind you, be careful with the blessings that God gives to you. Remember, there comes responsibilities with it. If God's increased your finances, responsibility. If God has increased you with a job, with more responsibility, comes more responsibility with that. And so we are held accountable for what God has blessed us with. And we're going to see the downfall of Solomon. There's a lot of good things that Solomon does. But we're going to see the downfall of Solomon. And I want to remind you also that what God has done for you in the past, remember, you also have to live today. What I mean by that is you need to make sure that you are living for God today like you did when you first met him. We're going to see some things slip away from Solomon because he is a king. And money and riches were no problem for him. Doesn't that happen to us sometimes? When we got more funding and we got things are working out for us, we have a tendency to forget God. We have a tendency to walk away from God because now we got what we think we need. I want to share with you the downslide that happens for Solomon. Chapter 11 is where it is. You know, chapter 11 of David's life in 2 Samuel is also the downfall of David with Bathsheba. But there's a difference between David and Solomon, we will find out. Chapter 11, verse Verse 1, King Solomon loved many foreign women in addition to Pharaoh's daughter. I want to remind you that Pharaoh is from Egypt, so his daughter's from Egypt, and this is the place that God worked through in the book of Exodus, bringing the people out of Egypt. Here Solomon gets his wife from the Pharaoh, and so he has the Pharaoh's daughter as a wife. And I'm not going to go through the list, but he has a lot of women from a lot of different nations. Verse 2, from the nations that the Lord, he had told Israelites about, do not intermarry with them, and they must not intermarry with you, because they will turn your heart away from me into their gods. Solomon was deeply attached to these women and loved them. And here's a big piece. He had 700 wives. How can you understand that? 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and they turned his heart away from the Lord. Here's the first part. We see Solomon's heart begins to drift away from God. Now, for Solomon, it was women that he was told not to marry. God had told them not to get involved with them, because they will turn your heart away from me, because their hearts are long to something else. And God did not want his heart to be pulled and drift away from him. But he did the complete opposite. Let me tell you, your eyes will get you in trouble. Lust can get you in trouble. Lust can get you in trouble. Your eyes can get you in trouble. I don't understand 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's just crazy to me. But they all turn his heart away. Let me tell you, Satan will take his time to turn your heart away, but eventually he keeps gnawing at it. You need to be strong in the Lord, or you will be turned away. 700 women speaking in 300 women, 1,000 women speaking into one man's ear. Go this way. And so he begins to drift away, because it says he was deeply attached to these women and he loved them all. So the first drift part for him was that his heart begins to drift. How many of you have been with someone that drawed you away from where you knew you needed to be? And you got into a relationship that drew you away, drew you back into things you shouldn't have been involved in, whether it had been drug, alcohol, into places, drew you away from God. But, oh, he promised me this, and she promised me that. Let me tell you about promises. People have a hard time keeping promises. Be careful what you promise, and be careful what promises you listen to. But his heart begins to slip. And when your heart begins to drift away from God, if you don't stop it right there, it's going to get worse. And it does. Verse 4, when Solomon was old, his wives seduced him to follow other gods. And he was not completely devoted to God as his father David had been. And he began to follow these gods, and they were very detestable. In verse 6, it says, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight, and unlike his father David, he did not completely follow the Lord. And I want to tell you, when your heart drifts away, you cannot be completely devoted anymore to God. You've drifted away. You cannot be completely devoted to God. And I want to remind you that God wants us to be completely devoted to him. And when we slip away and we begin that slip, and we're losing our heart, and we're losing that commitment, we're beginning to go away very quickly. And now he's beginning to do things he shouldn't be doing. It says at that time in verse 7, Solomon now begins to build a high place for Chemosh, a detestable idol of Moab. And he begins to do a list there. And he did the same thing for all of his foreign wives who were burning incense and offering sacrifices to their gods. Now he begins to slip deeper into a deeper hole. Now he's beginning to do what he said he would never do. He is beginning to build statues and idols and poles where people come and worship. And guess what people do with leadership? People follow leadership. People follow leadership. And the women spoke into his heart, spoke into his ear, and he begins to build these idols, and people now are going to go worship these idols. Now, today we may not be building idols like that, but we do have idols. It's called superstars and athletes, and it's movie stars. And we think these people are perfect, and it's called this program, that, and this. We need to remember that we need to stay focused with the Lord. And Solomon is slipping into a very dark hole. His heart has drifted. He's not completely devoted no more to the Lord. And now he's beginning to build statues and idols where once he built the temple of God. The temple. All the sacrifices and all the things were happening. And God said he would bless it. But if you drift away and you do these things, God said he's going to do something about it. In verse 9, he says this, the Lord was angry with Solomon. Can I remind you that God gets angry with us sometimes? God gets angry with us sometimes. And when he gets angry with us, there's a reason. There is a reason why God gets angry. But I also want to remind you, see how much patience God has? See how much patience and even some mercy in there? Giving Solomon time to do what David did. You see, there was a difference between Solomon and David. They were from the same family. David was the father of Solomon, and Solomon started off really good. But there was something different between David and Solomon when he really got into a mess. Anytime you see David get into a mess, he always came to this place where he repented. He came to a place where he would get before God and he would weep and say, I screwed up. God, forgive me. Lord, help me through this. You are a merciful God. Lord, take this sin away from me. Take my iniquities and wipe them away. Lord, I can't take it no more. Would you just clean me up and take my sin away from me? But Solomon didn't do that. Solomon begin to build up high places for false gods all the way across, even across from Jerusalem. And remember, people follow leadership. And Solomon is not leading very well. I also want to tell you tonight, just because an older person is in the church doesn't make them always spiritual. People, we would see older people in churches sometimes and we would think, oh, they're always here. They must be spiritual. They have gray hair. They've been here for a while. They're older in their looks. They must be spiritual. What did it say when Solomon was older? His wives seduced him. Just because a person is older does not make them a strong Christian. And we can be kind of sidetracked by that. But the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned away from him. The God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. You would think, wow, if God visited me twice, I would never drift away. Really? Well, if you are saved tonight, we know that God visited you at least once. Amen? If you remember the experience of your baptism, you would say, now, God's visited me twice. But yet we still mess up, don't we? This is why we need to stay close to God. This is why our hearts can't drift. But the Lord was angry. I don't know about you, but I know what it feels like when God is angry at me. And I don't like it. The conviction comes on. I don't have to think about what I did wrong. The conviction just reveals it right in front. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to have a broken heart before God because of something that you've done. And you're ashamed of it. But Solomon didn't have that feeling. Matter of fact, we don't even see him repenting at all in this. But the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. He had commanded him about this so that he would not follow other gods. But Solomon did not do what the Lord had commanded. You put your hand on a hot stove, what happens? You burn yourself. But you know what? Sometimes we're going to do it anyway. Let's see what happens. Verse 11. Because here's what happens. Now, as a parent, some of us are easy parents with our kids when it comes to discipline. Some of them, sometimes a dad or a mom might be a pushover. But sometimes the mom or dad, the other one might be more of the disciplinary person. I want to remind you that when the Lord's going to discipline, He's going to discipline. You know, he's easy, He's loving, He's compassionate. But the Lord, Scripture says it's all over that the Lord disciplines those whom He loves. He does it because He loves you. He's just going to go in rage and he hates you, He despises you. He disciplines you. He disciplines me because He loves us. He wants us to get back on that narrow road. So the Lord said to Solomon in verse 11, since you have done this, He puts it out there. He says, you did this. You did it. And did not keep my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded you, I will tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. I'm going to tear the kingdom away. Wow. You ever build something and as a kid and you build a house of cards or you put a model together and some other sibling just comes up and he just kicks it? And you're like, what? I put all my time in that. The Lord's going to tear it down because it's not because He wants to tear it down. It's because really they tore it down. It's not what it was intended for. But He says, since you have done this and not kept my covenant, I'm going to take it away. However, I will not do it during your lifetime because of your father David. I will tear it out of your son's hand. Yet I will not tear the entire kingdom away from him. I will give him one tribe to your son because my servant David and because of Jerusalem that I've chosen. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of mercy in that. There is a lot of mercy in that. God could have just said, it's all over. But God says, because of your daddy, I'm not going to take it away out of you right now, but I'm not going to take it all away. I'm going to leave one tribe for your son. That is mercy. That is mercy. I'm going to read verse 41, and I'm going to come back to a couple of things. Verse 41 says this, the rest of the events of Solomon's reign. Now what happens is God allows the enemy to come in, and it just totally takes everything over, demolishes it. But the rest of the events of Solomon's reign, along with his accomplishments and his wisdom, are written in the book of Solomon events. The length of Solomon's reign, here we go, to Jerusalem, over all Israel, totaled 40 years. 40 years. 40 years. And Solomon rested with his fathers, was buried in the city of his father David, and then his son became king. But if 40 years is what he lasted, he lasted 40 years. He started off great. Did great. But there was a moment in there when it says he got older. He didn't fix it. He didn't repent. He didn't clean the house. He just let it get more sinful. And God's patience was done. And he ends up dying. What a tragedy. We know this man wrote some great proverbs, still good. But it is a tragedy to see a man that God blessed so much that he turned and gave it all away because he thought he can control the lust and the sin that he had chosen. Let me remind you of this. When God moves into your life, there's no room for anything, any other. There's no room for any gods or any idols. When you ask God to come into your life and He's called you and He's opened the door for that opportunity for a person to come to Christ, when He opens it up, it's Him. When you ask someone to marry you, you asked one, right? Not another. Not another. You share your life with that one, good or bad. I want to share with you tonight that there is consequences for sin and disobedience, and that's what happened. But I want to help you tonight on how to work through it. Because you're going to go in your ministry. You're going to work in your life. You're going to get some things straightened out, and it's going to look real good. But I want to remind you that John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is your life and everything that you have. And this is a perfect example of how that works. First thing I want to help you with tonight is this. You need to stay faithful. You need to stay faithful to God. You have to stay faithful. And when you mess up, you got to fix it. You got to stay faithful. Aren't we glad that God is faithful? Aren't we glad that Christ is faithful? Number two, we got to worship God only. The only one that gets my worship is God. You got to have that same. And I got to work on that because I know this. Down the road, Satan may want to taunt me and trip me up a little bit. I got to stay faithful and remember that the only one worthy of worship is God. No man, no woman, no ministry, no church is worthy of worship, but only God. And I want to tell you, people worship churches. People worship ministries. People worship preachers, and they should never do that. Preachers can do all kinds of bad things, and people will not see it and won't even, they'll self-justify it and say it's okay because he's my preacher. Let me tell you, Christ is the only one worth worship. So we need to remember, and when you keep that, that'll keep you strong. But you also have to be, number three, you have to be obedient. What is God calling you to do? What is God telling you to do? You need to stay obedient to the Lord. Solomon fell on his face because he always kept looking with his eyes. I'm going to tell you, you get that much in the kingdom, you get that much, you get six steps and everybody's got to get up to you, and you got gold lions on each side, and you got them up on the mane, and you got it up. You almost feel like you're trying to what? Sit on the throne of God. There's only one seat in the throne, and there's only one that can sit on the throne. So we have to be obedient. Number four, we have to stay close to God, and we do that by two ways. Number one, we pray. We have to keep praying. Even when you don't feel like praying, pray anyway. Even if you don't know what to pray, just open it up. Lord, I don't know what to talk to you about. And number two, you got to get into his word. God speaks from the word. You need to read his word. That'll keep you close too. Number five, we need to fear God. We need to have a holy fear of God. We need to have a holy fear of God. We need to remember who God is, where he's at, who we are, where we're at. And we need to look at it. He's here and we're down here. We keep wanting to do this. We're above God. God, get on my bandwagon. God, get on this. Bless me because I want you to. I told you to. And my problems are worse than everybody else's, and you need to come over here and give me what I want. Nope. Lord, you're my master. You're my creator. I am who I am. And the good that I have is because of you. But there are things in my life I need to straighten out, and I need you to draw that and draw me to yourself that we might work on those things. So fear God, because every man will stand and every woman will stand in the presence of God and get an account. Let me ask you this. Are you ready to give an account for your life? Because life is a gift. Number six, you have to keep his commands in the Bible. So you just can't read it. You got to keep his commands. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now you're thinking, oh, that stuff is so hard. It is hard, but it's not that hard if you let God be God. It's hard when you fight it. It's hard when you fight it. Because we're going to mess up, amen? We're going to mess up in every one of those from time to time. But this was the key difference between David and Solomon. So number seven is you have to be a person of conviction and of repentance. You know this, you Christians who know this, you know the longer you hold on to a sin, the more spiritually miserable you are. And the more miserable you get until you deal with it. Because it's like dragging something everywhere you go. And you try to hide it. We try to make it look like we're good, where everything is good. But that's exactly what God has seen. Some of us are great actors. The best actors are not on TV. It's the Christian who has sin in their life and nobody can see it. Except him. And so many Christians go to bed at night. They can't sleep. They toss and turn because they have sin in their life and they're not dealing with it. And they get up in the morning and they think they're gonna have a great day. And they're asking God, they kind of like fade into a real quick prayer. Lord, thank you for the day. Help me have a great day. Amen. We start turning God into an acquaintance. He's not an acquaintance. He's God. And there is only one God. And there is only one Jesus. And there's only one way through salvation. But Solomon was this man who had everything. He was not denied anything. Be careful that you just might get all that you want. Because when you think that you have arrived, you have not. We do not arrive until we get to heaven. Amen? We are just, as the scripture says, we are foreigners, aliens, passing through a foreign land. This is not our home. But while we're here, we're called to be obedient and follow Christ and live a life. What was Solomon's turning point? Letting other people speak into his life ungodly things. Letting people speak into his life. And I want to tell you, be careful who you let speak into your ears. Be careful who you let get into your life. Because they don't always have the same intentions as God does. People will stir you and steer you in the wrong direction. There is only one captain in my life. There should be only one captain in your life. And that is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Not other people. If I was to tell you to do something and you knew it wasn't right in the spirit, you knew it wasn't right, don't do it. Don't do it. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The one thing I see that is missing in Solomon is he didn't use his discernment. If you can go back and read the prayer that he prayed over the temple, how he spoke to the people. You thought this man would never drift from God. You thought this man was on the straight path for the rest of his life, and when he buried, they were going to have a hallelujah moment. And the people were going to weep because a man of God had passed on. But I'll tell you, sin steals everything. Sin steals everything. Steal your family. And the wrong person, the wrong boyfriend, the wrong girlfriend. Sometimes it's that cost for that relationship. It costs you everything. It costs you everything. Because we had a moment of flesh. We had a moment of lust. Oh, this person made promises, but you didn't even know it. Oh, I remember being in the military. Guy got married, met this girl one time. One time. Drill sergeant's got beside this guy. I mean, it's a basic guy. Okay, dude, what are you doing? Oh, I just love her. I just love her. I just love her. I just love her. He said, you ain't know her but about 2 hours. People get infatuated by their eyes and their heart. This guy's perfect. This girl's perfect. But you know what happened? They got married. And then it was over. Because that's what happens. We try to find happiness and true joy in shallowness. For a short time of joy and happiness, but a long time of suffering and the consequences of it. You have to do this if you want to make it. You got to start the best you can. And with God, I want to tell you, your first day with God is the best day you ever had. That's the day of salvation. And when you start, God gives you a fresh start. He wipes all your sins away, everything you did. And if you hang on to Him, that's all. You've got to let it go. If you need help letting it go, I can show and share with some things on how to let it go. But on your first day of salvation, it is the best day you've ever had in your life. And the next day is the second best day. And you're going to keep doing that process. And you're going to have mess ups. But you're going to have to learn to repent and work it out and stay faithful, be obedient. This list I just talked about. But there's going to be some moments in your life where you're going to come to a crossroads. You're not sure what you're going to do. But if you stay faithful and obedient, God's going to lead you through. You stay with God, He's going to lead you through. Because here's what it is. Everything doesn't start and end at salvation. It's just the beginning. And you got a life to live, and you get 30, and you become 40, and you become 50, and your life is, you start seeing like, oh man, I might have 15, maybe 20 years left, or whatever it may be, 30, I don't know. But you start seeing some things coming to an end. The book of your life, the chapters, you're getting well into the book. But let me tell you, we know how the story begins, but you can't stay on the page one, chapter one. You have to finish well. You have to finish well. You have to finish well. If you don't finish well, then the whole book is just a mess. Your life is that you have to finish well. And this is what I know about the Lord. As long as you're breathing, God says you can have a redo. As long as you're breathing, you get a you can come to Him, repent, and have a redo. And I don't know how many times I went to God and said, God, I need a redo. Well, let's talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. Well, we need to talk about that. I might have to push some things to the side. I might have to adjust something in my life. I might have to stay away from someone, put them on loving from a distance. Because I want to finish well. This is a story of a man who started great but did not finish well. Don't be like that. Here's the thing about Jesus. You can start bad, but He gives you opportunity to finish well. But He says, you got to do it with Me. And if you want to do it with Me, you got to do it with My Son. And because you're not that smart, you're not powerful, I'm going to give you My Holy Spirit. I'm seeing the Lord just keeps packing good stuff in. Then I'm going to give you a spiritual gift. You might serve Me. Some of you didn't catch that, but some of you did. Like, wow, God has given me a lot. And I'm going to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That you don't have to stand in the great white throne judgment, but you get to eat in the house. I could tell you this. If Solomon could get a redo, he would do a redo right now. Because who wants to leave a legacy like this? I let 700 women and 300 concubines. I couldn't control myself. I just built everything they wanted to, and everything was against God, and I just did it anyway. And God says, I'm angry. You didn't listen. I want to remind you that God didn't say, I don't love you no more. He said, I'm angry. And I'm going to take your kingdom, and I'm going to rip it from you. But I love you. I love you, Daddy. I'm going to give your son one try. I hope you finish well. I hope you live off your old testimony, your old testimonies, but you don't let them be what you're living off of today. They help you, but you can't live off them today. You have to make new testimonies, but they need to be godly ones. Amen.